It was just being blessings and spreading the word and changing your life. It was an everyday thing. It wasn't something that you adopt for a little bit of time. I think one thing that Jesse said is that it's personal. It's something that you do within yourself. That makes a difference when it comes into church, because it depends on how much effort you'll put into it or how much support you put into others around you and love and spread the church, because church is not just a building. What the advantages of doing church in the community is over the past few months, it grows strength. We were talking about DeMarco used him and Kika as example, and he was saying like he's more forefront and he's like on the scene and he can talk and do things, and Kika's kind of more of a writer. And he said instead of them separating that, they put it together to multiply their task and make it better for them. And what we pointed out is as church, it allows us to help each other's gifts. Oh yes, can you bring it up? Because I don't have my phone. And then Ephesians 4:16 is actually like it's spot on to what we were talking about. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So in a community, we allow each other to all be what we're supposed to be. And then it helps us build each other without even realizing it. You'll get better at who you are, and church will get stronger as you continue to go on. So that's that. And then obstacles. DeMarco made a good point. Society. I think that's the biggest obstacle that we have when it comes to church as ourselves. At our table, we spoke about the obstacles that we have that kind of go our forefront. And then I also, personally, I said temptation. Those are some of the things that make it difficult to be into church. And then also we spoke about how other churches, their reputations can change, because some people go into church thinking it's a building and they can sit right in the back because they don't know what a real church is. So those are some of the different obstacles that happen in church.
Yes.
Yeah.
After the resurrection, the first churches were collections of Christians. And what's important about that is that these were people that believed in Jesus, that he died on the cross for their sins, and they believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. So collections of Christians assembled believing in the Holy Spirit. What are the advantages of doing church in the community? As we've discussed over the past few months, we keep each other in our prayers and in spirit, and we keep on encouraging each other to continue on your walk, to continue to get better at being a Christian and remembering what that's about. And by fellowshipping and being around each other, we talk about a lot of iron sharpening iron. That's what we're doing. And we're strengthening our family. It's important. There's power in this. There's power in more than two or three people. When you get 50 people in a room that all care about Jesus first and knowing that he cares about what we're doing to work for him, there's a lot of power in that. So those are the advantages of doing a church in a community. What are the obstacles of doing church? Just like what you guys said, we're stumbled by technology and distractions today. Mutes the power of worshiping and praying together and getting closer and building bonds with our church families. It's easy to just, you know, like we all have to do now, we have to get on our phone. Well, if there's no Wi-Fi in here today, we're having a rough time with this task. So let's get better at that. Those are our obstacles. Our obstacles are to continue to get down and dirty on a one-on-one basis. And then that's how we get to know each other better. We truly build this friendship, and then our friendship with Christ is strengthened too. So having too many just distractions out there, worrying about all the world's and secular problems, that makes it to where that we don't make enough time to really get down to the nitty gritty of what we should be doing.
So I just Googled the question, mm-hmm. and it came up with the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much all from Revelation, it's the churches are known for having labored hard and not fainted, and separating themselves from the wicked, abomished for having forsaken its first love. The church admired its tribulation and poverty, admired for their tribulation and poverty, forecast to suffer persecution.
It's a murmur.
Right. The church admired for its tribulation and poverty, forecast of suffering persecution. The church, this one's kind of weird to me, but it says the church where Satan's seat or throne is needed to repent for allowing false teachers. That was in Pergamum. The church is known for its charity, whose latter works are greater than the former, held the teachings of a false prophetess. The Church of Sardis, that has a good name, cautioned for fortifying itself and return to God through repentance. Philadelphia, the church steadfast in faith and had kept God's word and endured patiently. So that was just the unity thing.
And so the churches today, I don't know, is this all?
No, maybe not.
My bad.
Yeah. And so the churches today, or at least proposed to be, churches today come together for unity.
Yeah.
And we got it from Ephesians 4, verse 3. And then there's another one about we're supposed to come together and take care of the orphans and the widows. That's what churches are supposed to do, and the poor.
Yes.
And then supporting one another. Iron sharpens iron. That was a strong verse that we took from that. And that's what the churches of the day are supposed to be like, as opposed to, or in comparison to, those of the past. Number one. Question number two, what are the advantages of doing church and community as discussed here over the last few months? And that's a very good question. We started with commitment. Because we all have to be committed to come here weekly, and then those phone calls that we're getting stronger at during the week now, we have to be committed to do that, so that's been helping us grow. It takes us out of the comfort zone. It gives us practice, so if we practice here on the phone, then we can go out and practice with other people and bring them to Christ too.
Right.
There's a lot of benefits to the advantages.
Pulling us out of our comfort zone and not being afraid to talk.
I believe the other brother, he stepped out, but he was saying that it's also a practical application. That you get stronger with what you learn here during the week, and then you can take it to
the
work
with
you. The recipe, exactly. You can take it to your life. And then as far as number three, what are the obstacles? Number one, I think across the board was technology, he was saying. So I think everybody hit on that one. Excuses. And
laziness.
Yeah, no self-discipline.
Yeah.
It is right there. So those are probably the big three when it comes to not obstacles of doing church. But that was it as a group.
Thank you.
Us all to just lean and depend on him. Back in the summer, I think we met for lunch with the pastor, and I was telling him about how I was compelled to just write down messages that would clear scripture. I would study scripture, and there would be one or two words that really I didn't understand if I was getting the message clear. So he led me to go to many sermons, messages, songs, devotions, all of these, and to write down what I called my open letter to God. So I found myself over the summer writing several of these. The first one was like seven pages long. The second was like 6 pages long, and I've been writing 5. The one I did the other night was just very simple. It was less than a page. But my whole point is that I felt compelled early part of the summer to go deep. I think from the teachings here, you know, the teaching, I call it a in-your-face teaching. That's what we get here. It's down to earth, which I have been told many times that when I speak down to earth. And at first I got, But what I like about the teachings here and what God led me to do by dissecting scriptures so that I am without excuse as far as what I just heard or what was just preached or what I just read. And so, again, God has given me the zeal and the desire to research scriptures. And it elevates, brings me to a closer walk with Him. Strengthens my faith, encourage me to encourage those who's crossed my path. But as I was talking to Pastor back in the summer, he saw that I was filled with all this zeal and energy, but I couldn't put a word to what I felt God was doing. And I told the ladies on our group line the other night that sometimes if I couldn't sleep, I'd get up and I'd start writing. And I think I'd been writing for half an hour and it'd been 2 hours. And I started laughing and I said, wow, you know. And so finally, I kept praying. I said, Lord, what are you doing with me? I mean, once I get started, I just keep writing and writing and writing and researching. And as I'm doing this, I'm researching, like I said, messages, and I'm researching sermons, devotions, songs. And a couple of times, Satan says, you know, that's illegitimate. Nobody wants to hear that. And I kept thinking, I was kind of torn. Well, I'm researching all this, putting it down. Is it illegitimate? And just this morning, I started praying again. And God gave me, this is called a compilation.
Nice.
It's a compilation of things that I have read and continue to read and internalize to be able to express how and what I have learned and how I feel. So it's a compilation of many things that express my desire and my love for the Word of God. So I just thank the Lord that He continues to have me put this together, and when He's ready for me to share it, to share it. So I told, I shared this last week, and I said I'd share it again. It's very, very short. This one is very short compared to the others, and I will share the others as time permits. But this one, and the titles are just like one word title. I think one when I did before was Call Help, and that was the 7-page letter. But this one is Call Pray. And it's, like I said, just one page. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. But anyway, an upright godly ministry is a hostile battle against sin and Satan under the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. For this reason, it is a grave decision to know God's will and not do it. God calls this sin. Disobedience, sin, disconnects us from the peace and joy of God, while Jesus, our mediator, reconciles us to God. Therefore, believers must be praying people. We must pray in our closets, pray in our families, pray in our meals, pray when we travel, pray in church, and most of all, pray in faith and do not doubt. Disciples of God must be honest and godly wherever we find ourselves. It is crucial that we always conduct ourselves in behavior that is pleasing in the sight of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must be eager and ready to acknowledge the truth, for that is God's appointed way to save sinners. Let our lives be ruled by His truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, John 8:32. God's truth does not contain empty words. God's word is life-giving power.
Amen. Yeah.